Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Happy Friday. It is a beautiful, gloomy Friday here. And hey, Claude, how are you, Dern?
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Ooh, it's the remix.
It's a little, you know, I threw a little R&B in there, you know. Gotta get down. Well, actually, that's not R&B. That's like country. But you know what I mean. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. How's everyone feeling today?
I'm feeling so fucking good, honestly. There's nothing quite like sleeping in your own bed. Like, even if you're in a palace, you know, there's just nothing that can even compare to, like, the first night's sleep back in your bed, because it's just, at least for me, it's my cocoon, you know, it's my office, it's my production studio, it is my hair salon, it is my nail salon, like, and it's just so comforting to be back in my own bed, and I loved spending a few days at TPG's, but I'm sure you can relate, Jax, there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it, and how's
Do-do-do is really good. He does this thing. So Ben wakes up earlier than me, and Ben also does the morning walk in addition to most of the other walks. But the morning one, like, always.
Yes, same
and
for me.
Then Theo gets back into bed. I sleep, like, another hour, and Ben leaves. And when Theo gets back into bed, he, like, does this thing. And, like, it is sweet, but he curls up in a little circle. I sleep on my stomach, and he just falls asleep, like, directly on my back, which is so sweet. But after like an hour, 20 pounds on your back, like, starts to hurt.
25, 30.
Don't fucking, I knew you were going to fucking say that. It
no,
really
I
starts
agree.
To
yeah,
hurt.
No, that's like so sweet of him. And it's so sweet that he wants to be so close to you. But like, that can't be good for your back.
No, I'm literally walking around with a limp.
He wants you to be limping like him.
That's true. He's pimping and limping.
Ugh, cutest. Well, I missed him. The show's missed him. It's never the same when he doesn't have a microphone. He isn't sharing his thoughts on the world around him. But we'll be back in studio next week, which I'm really excited about. I'm also excited. I know I've been on vacation, but I'm so excited that it's the weekend. Like, it just feels different. But also, we've been toasting. So, like, I've been setting in alarms. And so I'm excited for alarm-free living. Plus, it's Passover on Saturday. The two big nights are Saturday and Sunday, which is lucky for everyone else because we actually don't have to miss any toast because of it.
Right.
But I'm really excited. We're going to have so much fam time this weekend.
I know. I'm excited, obviously, because, you know, we love a holiday. Love to see Kayla. Family gets together. We haven't been together in a while. But this particular holiday, well, it's definitely not the worst Jewish holiday. I think we all know that's Yom Kippur. This isn't a great one because of the whole, like, no bread thing for two fucking weeks.
Yeah, no. It's 8 days, but it's not a great one. Plus, there's a long Seder before the meal, so, like, you don't even get to just dig in.
That part doesn't bother me.
It requires a lot of willpower, as does a lot of Judaism.
Yeah, no, but, like, when we were kids, like, of course, like, the prayers, like, that we had to do, it takes, like, an hour before the meal. Like, that used to really bother me. As an adult now, like, it's funny. Like, we make jokes. Like, it doesn't bother me that much. Like, the bread thing really fucking kills me.
Yeah, and it's always good to see, like, who can still read Hebrew well.
Yes, it's a competition.
Who's struggling in the off season.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, let's talk about it. I think probably Margo is the best Hebrew speaker in our family.
Yes, because she's the closest from having been in high school, which is where we excelled.
She also spent a summer in Israel that I think really helped her, whereas you meant to spend a summer in Israel, but you ended up spending about 3 days.
A few weeks. No, I spent, like, I think I spent, the trip was 5 weeks. I think I spent 2 to 3 weeks total. I really gave it a shot. I gave it a shot.
Yeah.
No regrets.
Who would you say is the worst?
Well, it depends. Out of the sisters or sisters plus husbands?
Sisters plus husbands, because we know the answer is Ben.
Yes, but it's also like, but Ben at least can read Hebrew. So like my husband doesn't read Hebrew, so he's not even in the running.
That's
but
true.
Of the people who try, Ben is the worst.
I know. And I actually said to him last night, like, I hope you've been brushing up, because it's already a long procession, you know? Mm-hmm. And when Ben gets the book, oh man, it's like dinner's been pushed back 45 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be like a sad day for anyone. Like, Ben might be the first one to do it. But like, when you're so far out from being good at reading Hebrew that you're going to just switch to the English.
But see, he's married to me and he's not allowed, because we're all up for the challenge. So are you.
Yeah. No, I find it nice to flex my Hebraic muscles.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like maybe if we didn't have to do it once a year, like we would be worse. So it's like we almost tune ourselves up every year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great.
I'm just excited for my solo, you know?
Which is your solo? I mean, Kaylor's supposed to be singing Manish Chana, but apparently she's being a diva about it. She's like, no, I'm
waiting.
Wow.
She has she sent a rider over. Well, I can't believe you don't know my solo, because it's literally an iconic moment of the Seder.
Yes, it's
Malecha Hayam.
Malecha Hayam.
Kitanu.
Kitanu.
I would continue, but I do believe, like, saying the prayer in vain is, like, a huge sin.
Well, I mean, it's not in vain. We're sharing it with the masses, and you're not taking the Lord's name in vain. So I think you're free if you want to continue with this fucking bop. It's a Seder bop, you guys.
Yes.
If you are Jewish and do a Seder, like, you know the song. Like, literally, fists are pumping.
Chalamish.
Halamish
lemaynomayim
lemaynomayim. It's also
kimifene adon
kimifene adon
chuli aharetz
chuli aharetz
milifene elo. Oh nope, that's the bad Elokai. Word. Sorry. Elokai Yaakov.
Elokai Yaakov.
Ha'och v'hatzor.
Stop, I can't. By the way, the song is call and repeat. That's why, like, the leader sings the first line, and then everyone joins in and repeats. So it's just, like, it's a smash hit.
You know what's so funny, though, is, like, you know, we've been doing the Seders, like, as a family since our whole life, and we always do the same, like, rhythm and melody, and that's, I don't know where we, like, that was, like, what our parents did, and we learned that at school. But it's funny when you get married and see, like, how people who were raised, like, the same but in a different home have different melodies, and they're like, what melody are you guys singing? And we're like, well, what melody are you singing?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. My melody or bust.
No, by the way, like, there's literally no melody besides ours. Like, ours is, and, like, when I get, like, you know, on my soapbox and I put, like, you know, a knife to the table to get myself a little drum, like, it's so sickening. There's nothing else like it. Like, let's video it and put it on Patreon.
100%. Sickening the Seder down.
Down.
Well, that just got me excited for the Seder, even though I have so much to do to prepare for Passover. I'm so unprepared.
So I don't even have matzah. Actually, yeah, I just got a box of shmorah matzah, but I don't have, like, I'm so behind.
Yeah, no, me too. So let's do what we came here to do so that we may prepare for the chag.
For the Festival of Lights? No, that's Hanukkah. Wait, I had something to say. Oh, yesterday I finished that Jenny Han series, the three summer books.
And I just went saw.
Yeah, I know. I think it's probably about the time I should Venmo you $100 for, like, all the books I've read and all the books I'm going to read.
Yeah, and for my time as well. Plus
well,
interest.
No. I didn't take any of your time, actually.
You did. You did. For my consultations and my support and my fucking Kindle.
Yeah, okay. Well, the consultations, yes. And then also, I do believe I owe you a rental fee for the Kindle that you're not getting back. That it says Jackie's Kindle. How do I change that?
Okay, so I actually was thinking about it last night because I was like, you deserve to have your own little profile with all your
little
ratings.
You know, I was thinking of making a Goodreads.
Yeah, no, my Goodreads is, like, literally, it's like my planner, honestly. Like, I can tell, like, what I was doing in my life by my Goodreads account. So I was thinking that you should do that. That way you can rate your books. Goodreads could make suggestions for you. You would have your own little thing going. But when you do that, you would lose all my books that I already have downloaded. Like, we might wind up double buying books.
Yeah, that's silly.
But you've also kind of already read the ones that I, of everything that I've read that I recommend to you. You know what I mean? So, like, going forward.
I just feel like a renter, you know? Like, I can't really make the Kindle my own.
I know. And maybe it's, maybe you should just get one of your own.
But I literally have one. That would be so stupid.
I know, but, like, I liked having two. Just kidding. I never used a second one. And I always just wanted someone to use it, so I'm glad.
Well,
are.
I just want to say, now that you have purchased them on your account, I really recommended it. It was so cute and light. I literally read the 2 second books last night. Like, they were so, like, you know I love a short book. It was so sweet. Now I can't wait for the Amazon series, because I was having trouble picturing, like, the people. And I just was picturing the main girl as Lana Condor, because, like, that's who played the main character into All the Boys I Loved Before. But I just really need, like, Amazon Prime Studios to, like, visualize it for me.
Yes, that's so exciting for you. Maybe I'll check them out, but I am just...
Yeah, no, you're like... You're on, like, a grade 11 reading, and I'm on, like, grade 4 with my summer romance novels, but it was so good.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's so great. I'm so happy for you. I'm almost, hopefully I'll finish Other Boleyn Girl soon, because I have to start reading the book for the Redheads. We, new episode of the Redhead Shops on Thursday. That one just really snuck up on us.
What's the book?
The book is Detransition Baby. I'm really excited to read it, so hopefully I'll start on Sunday when I finish Other Boleyn Girl, which is going so, like, it's such a great book, even though it's so long.
So, I don't know if you've found this out yet, and I don't want you to spoil the book. Who is the other Boleyn girl?
So, it's clear that Mary is the other, and Anne is the Boleyn girl.
Well, I've only heard of Anne, so of course. We don't know Mary.
No, but in the beginning, like, Mary was, you know, the queen, and Anne was the sorry people.
Mm.
And now Anne is the literal queen.
Right, literal right, right.
Queen
right.
of England.
So, well, we love that for her.
Do we? I don't know.
We'll
it's
find
so
out.
Crazy. I'm really excited to finish reading the book, find out what parts are true, what yeah. parts are fiction, and then also read, like, the story of Henry and Anne Boleyn, because it's, like, really fucking crazy, which I already knew, but reading it is, like, wow.
Okay, well, you enjoy your trip down. You are next. The next book you're going to read is going to be written by McGraw-Hill. You're doing so much fucking history.
No, I know. And, like, after I read Queen Victoria's Matchmaking, that's literally what I wanted, because Queen Victoria's Matchmaking, the book pretty much ended with, like, World War One, because that's when, things sort of fell apart. And I'm like, wait, but now I want the next chapter. So if anyone knows of a good... Royals Through the World Wars book. Hit me up.
RSTWW.
No, Royals Through the World Wars, because...
RTT... Whatever.
Because with World War One, the Russian Empire, German, and one other, like, no longer had royal families. But, and now today, like, we really only have the British royal family. So over the last 100 years, the other royal families fell through. I want to keep reading about those.
But there are other royal families besides the royals. But you mean, like, major, like...
Yes, like, actual position countries. Of power. Even yeah. though, like, the British monarchy doesn't have that much power, like, they are well-regarded.
I don't know. Meghan Markle shut down Splash Agency paparazzi studio. That's power.
True.
And also, Kardashians was on last night, so we are definitely going to recap that episode at the end of today's episode. So if you're looking for that, stay tuned. But before that, Jax, I think that...
You think it's
I think
time?
We should do it. I think we should just take our towels off and dive off the deep end.
Well, if we dove with our towels, then they wouldn't be there to dry us off.
I said take our towels off.
Oh, okay. And dive off the deep end.
Thanks for
okay.
listening.
Okay, sorry you talked so quickly. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh my God, I gotta stop doing that. Okay.
Are you ready? Put your swim cap on.
For what?
For the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Hell yeah, I'm ready, but I just wanted to let everyone know that today's episode is brought to you by our Patreon account. What is Patreon, you ask? You know, the Morning Toast here 5 days a week, totally free show. But if you're ever looking for more content, vlogs, behind-the-scenes episodes, podcast episodes, head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast, which is our subscription service. For $7.99 a month, you get 5 extra episodes from Jackie and I, and those episodes are vlogs, they're cooking tutorials, organizing videos, behind-the-scenes videos. They're also podcast episodes. We talk about beauty, lifestyle, anything you want us to talk about. Ben comes on, Olivia comes on, Margot comes on. It's everything of the sort. It's a great way to support the show and get extra content from your favorite gals. So head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast to please sign up for our account. Also, once you sign up on Patreon, you get access to our last living Facebook group, the Toast After Dark, which is a members-only Facebook group, and it's where it all goes down. So check it out, The Morning Toast Patreon at patreon.com/TheMorningToast.
The Toast After Dark is the British monarchy in a sea of collapsed empires.
The last remaining.
Okay, first story, some exciting podcast news. I don't know if you've heard it. The OC's Rachel Bilson, a.k.a. Summer Roberts, and Melinda Clark, a.k.a. Julie Nickel Cooper Nickel, launched Rewatch podcast nearly 18 years after the show's premiere. So Summer and Julie are launching a podcast called Welcome to the OC, Bitches. You know the line. Welcome to the OC, bitch. The podcast will feature former cast members, writers, musicians, and many people that made the OC the cultural phenomenon that it is today as a... Bilson and Clark recap every episode of the show.
Okay, let's talk about this because I have a few thoughts. First thought is, like, I do feel like Rachel Bilson, like, would hypothetically be, like, above doing a podcast and or too busy. So I was shocked that she took the gig. Like, I don't think Melinda Clark is as busy and in demand that, like, I understood, like, this is a good project for her. Like, she has the time.
Yes. Okay. Now, if you just look at it conversely, maybe it doesn't mean that, like, Rachel Bilson's, like, coming down to podcasting. Maybe podcasting has risen up.
I'm sorry, Bilson. I did not mean that it's a step down. It's just not something I saw Rachel Bilson doing. Like, she's kind of private. Like, I don't know. It's just the Rachel Bilson of it all, first and foremost, did shock me.
Yeah, I hear that. But, you know, everyone is just getting into podcasting. Like, I mean, honestly, if Meghan and Harry can podcast... And Michelle and Barack podcast.
Yeah.
Rachel Bilson can podcast.
If Jackie and Claudia. my other initial thought was that this seems like it's kind of inspired by The Office Ladies, because yes. I believe that's what they do on their podcast. And that podcast is very successful, like always at the top of the charts. So I think that they created like a template a lot of people are following. I don't know. I'm not going to listen to it. Even though I love the OC, it's just like it's a type of format for a podcast. Like, it's obviously effective, but for me personally, like, I can't imagine watching one episode per week, like, with other people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it seems like a lot of homework, and I feel the same. Like, I feel like I would actually really enjoy it if I had the time to, like, follow with the calendar. But maybe you don't rewatch with them. We've rewatched it. Like, if they're talking about episode one, I know what they're talking about. If they're talking about episode two, I know what they're talking about. So maybe you just listen. I'm curious to hear, like, their personalities. I feel like Melinda Clark, I just feel like she is Julie Cooper Nickel Cooper. Like, and that's who I would want to hear from.
Yeah, no, Melinda Clark, like, literally has played the same prototype of character on every show that she's on, like an Entourage. She was literally like the same type of like Julie Cooper, so it's difficult for me to imagine her actual personality is so far off from that.
Yeah, so I think I feel like this is a promising endeavor, honestly. I can't say that I'm gonna listen to it, but I'm excited about this. Like, it's fun to bring back. The OC is like such a great show. I'm glad they're not reviving it. I'm glad it's just coming back in podcast form. Maybe that's what will happen with Hannah Montana.
Oh, I mean, Miley did remember how she went through that phase at the beginning of quarantine where, like, she thought she was going to be the next Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, she did.
She did that, yeah. So back to this. This is just more celebrities in the podcasting space. And, of course, you know, I remember, you know, probably more than a year ago, like, we were talking about it a lot, like, celebrities kind of infiltrating the podcast space, and it really bothered me. And it still bothers me, so good to know that I'm consistent.
Yeah, but now that it's been a year of celebrities infiltrating the space, like, do you actually think that the space is any different?
No, but it is really interesting to see, like, which, like, you can be famous, like, recognizably traditionally famous, and not a single person wants to listen to your podcast. So it is really interesting to see celebrities that flock to the platform who have actual, like, influence, and, like, their followers from other platforms or their TV shows are actually following them, like Conan, whose podcast is incredibly successful. I found that really interesting. To other celebrities who announce their show, and, like, of course it makes news because they are traditional celebrities, but normal people, like, don't give a shit and nobody listens to their podcast. So I think it's the kind of thing that separates, like, the boys from the men, you know?
Yes, I agree. And then there's also the people who launch, like, quarantine podcasts who have already quit.
Yeah, never to be heard from again.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not That separates boys from the men. It is not for everyone.
And it's way more work. Chafe.
And Claudia, we are wheat.
The wheat from the huh?
From the chafe.
Like between your legs?
Yes, like between your legs.
That's the only chafe I know.
I think,
and
it's
I know it very well.
Stop. Okay, let me just clarify. And I think it's chafe. It's C-H-A-F-F.
That's literally the same spelling as.
Why? Chub Rub. I would think Chub Rub was C H A I F.
I don't know. It always autocorrects for me.
Interesting. You use it so much, but all the time. It's to separate.
And also,
things
I don't usually say chafe because when I like talk about my chafing, I don't. And you use the word chafe, I feel like the person you're talking to like starts to imagine like your thighs rubbing together, and I don't want to create that visual. So I say chub rub because it's like so
it's cute.
Cuter. I'm like a little toddler, like oh my little chub rub legs. She's so cute, you know. Whereas chafe, it's like ew, she's sweaty and gross, you know.
100%, and that's why you separate the wheat. Us
from the chafe.
From the chafe, them.
I would like to separate myself from the chafe, honestly. Like, it's so tough. You know what's been one cool thing about COVID? Like, I haven't chafed in, like, a year because I haven't, like, had to.
Nah, I was wearing shorts the other day. And it was like, I've put on some LBs and, like, my shorts were just, like, not staying in place. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
And that wasn't good.
Yeah, I'm just, like, the feeling of, like, wearing a dress and like hiking up a hill with your legs chafing, like it's so distant to me because I haven't left my house that I'm actually, that's one of the things that I didn't realize until this moment. I'm like grateful to the lockdown for, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to clarify the spellings of each.
Okay.
Separating the wheat from the chafe, C-H-A-F-F. When you are chafing, if you are in the business of chafe, C-H-A-F-E. Different.
Got it.
The same, but different.
Very different.
So, Melinda and Rachel are starting a podcast.
And I have Chub Rub.
And that's that on that. Okay, our next story is sad, but a celebration of a wonderful life, legacy, and career. Jessica Walter from Arrested Development and Archer has died at the age of 80. Jessica Walter, the Emmy-winning actress best known as boozy matriarch Lucille Bluth on Arrested Development, died on Wednesday. No cause of death was given, but Deadline reported that she died in her sleep.
Okay. Oh, my God. I mean, she's so on that show, and I know she had, like, a whole career. I actually saw one of her old movies. I think you were with me. Like, that made her a star. It was like a Clint Eastwood movie called Misty. Sing for Me, Misty? Whatever, something. And I know that she has had, like, a huge career, but I think of her as always Lucille Bluth, who was so youthful and, like, funny. And I know she was older, so this shouldn't have come as a surprise, but I was, like, shocked when I heard this news.
I know, me too. By the way, the movie's Play Misty for Me.
Thank you. Sing for Me, Misty. I mean, I saw it so long ago, I don't remember, like, hating it.
I don't think I saw it. But actually, what's so coincidental is Zach had just, in the last few weeks, he was watching Arrested Development. He had never seen it before. So every time I would, like, go into the other room, like, it was always playing. And, like, literally every single time I would sit down and, like, just stay for, like, 30 minutes. And Lucille is that show.
And you know what?
You
know what I just realized?
She's the original Moira Rose.
Yes! Oh, my God! How the fuck did you know I was going to say that?
Because I just get you, and I had the same thought when I was rewatching.
Because I was, oh my God, I was literally going to say, Lucille Bluth walked so Moira Rose could run the fuck out of this place. Like,
100%.
Oh my God, I feel so like weird that you just figured out what I was going to say.
Claude, we see each other.
No, we do, but like, that was fucking crazy.
So this is definitely a loss. What a life well lived and a wonderful legacy. And I think we should watch some episodes of Arrested Development today in her honor.
I agree, because when someone put it in our chat, so I went to the GIF thing to like find a Lucille Bluth GIF to share. And there were just so many. Like, she has just so many iconic lines. And that's the type of show literally just for Lucille Bluth that you should watch with subtitles on, because like there's little nuggets of wisdom like in everything that she says. And I think that we should talk about it. I think we should talk about what Netflix did.
Yeah.
I think we should just, like, be out in the open about it, because that show was, like, canceled. It was, like, a random sitcom on, like, FX, and it got canceled after a few seasons, but it really had this like loyal following. And like 10 years later, Netflix decided to reboot it and like just pick up where they left off. So of course, like the community was enthralled. And what Netflix did to that show was so disgraceful. Like, who's responsible?
I don't know. I never watched the new episodes.
I started it and I literally couldn't finish it. I'm like, wow, this is an actual piece of shit.
Yeah. Don't bother. If you're going to watch Arrested Development, like once they switch to like the new episodes, Netflix. Don't bother. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like the show has so many gems. Obviously Lucille Bluth, but also Job, Will Arnett. Like that's where he got famous. And he's so fucking funny. Like when we try and like, whenever there's like a family TV show, you always try and like see yourself, your family, like in the
yeah,
family.
Yeah, no,
like,
I was explaining to Zach who's who.
Who's who
show.
In your mind? You're obviously Portia de Rossi.
Yes. Olivia is
Jason Bateman.
Jason Michael. Bateman. You are Job, like with 100%. Your magic. And Snitch is
Margo's
Buster.
Margo's Michael Cera. Yeah.
Like, no. Snitch is the guy from Veep, Buster.
Buster. Yeah, but she's also the grandson.
Yeah, she's also George Michael.
Yes. It's such a good show, honestly. It's like a great binge. Like the episodes are super short and it's like not that serious. And if you haven't seen it, it's so funny. But again, can't stress enough.
And Claudia, Tobias Fünke is Ben.
Literally. Oh my God, that's so good. You really can find like a member of your family. That's why it was so successful. Like everyone saw themselves reflected in the characters from the family. Like it's so good. I'm so glad you agreed. Like I knew that I was Job, you know?
100%. Like
with my magic.
With the magic.
Like, and I won't let the magic die. Like that's so us. And Will Arnett, like, he's kind of an underrated like actor and celebrity.
Are you a fan of his? I feel like he's someone you wouldn't be a fan of.
Oh no, I'm a huge fan of him and I happen to think he's really handsome.
That's so great. I agree.
Yeah, but he does give off like annoying energy that I would literally despise.
Yeah, he gives off like Conan energy or like Dax Shepard energy. But he doesn't have a podcast, so you can still tolerate him.
100%. But what he has that, in my opinion, those others too don't have. Well, you know, actually, I can't say that. That's not fair. I just think like he's super talented. Like that's all I'll say.
Okay, that's great.
And he just doesn't give me an annoying vibe. Like I hate people for no reason. Like ask me why I hate Conan. Well, actually, I have a reason for disliking Conan.
I honestly don't, I'm scared. Like, I don't even want to go down this road of like.
No, the only reason Conan. I don't like Conan is because
of the magazine cover. I know.
Yep.
I know. And then at Dennis's funeral,
he was there
taking pictures.
That is a legitimate, you know what? Let's not get into it.
I heard it was Conan taking the pictures.
Jackie, stop. It's so mean.
Oh, by the way, Bethany's like engaged. I know you talked about it.
We talked about it on Wednesday with Taylor.
Taylor Strecker, but like, cool. We were like speculating and now she is. And so that answers our question if she's going to run into marriage again.
Yeah, I know. I mean, engagement is not marriage, but yeah.
Oh my God. There's like a video playing on the next story of like a rat. And I just.
What?
Like, you know how sometimes there's a video player on a news outlet and it just starts playing.
Some of
videos?
These news outlets should be ashamed of their websites, like with the ads and the fucking videos.
I totally agree. And you want to know why there's like a gross ass video playing on this story? Because
it's a gross ass story.
It's the story about the Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy.
Oh, yeah. So
I know you spoke about it with Taylor Strecker. You spoke about the first half of the story, which is that Jensen Karp goes viral, shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
People find
rope.
Out that he's married to Topanga from Boy Meets World and lose their fucking minds.
Right. There was rope involved as well. And now the internet has turned on Jensen Karp. He is the, quote, manipulative shrimp tail serial man.
The internet giveth and the internet taketh away.
Mm-hmm. The Cinnamon Toast Crunch shrimp saga has taken a not-so-sweet turn. Comedian and author Jensen Karp went massively viral this week for tweeting his unsavory discovery of sugar-coated shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal just days after using his disturbing find to slam the brand and its maker General Mills. Social media has abruptly turned against him. Karp is now being accused of lying, stealing a podcast concept, and shaming a former sex partner, among other allegations.
Ooh.
So I saw a number of tweets from women who had past relationships with him, some like personal relationships and some professional. One screenwriter wrote, ha ha ha, my quickly deleted subtweet yesterday said, oh no, I can't follow the latest viral saga because I was blocked in 2014 because I was not gracious enough after a surprise threesome, but not before. Ooh. I was told to be careful or I would never work in this town again.
Wow, Jensen Karp really thinks highly of himself for someone who I've literally never heard of.
Yeah, actress Melissa Stenton also took to Twitter to say, what you may not know about the man behind the viral posts, what like he's a manipulative, gaslighting, narcissistic ex-boyfriend who once told me he was surprised I hadn't killed myself because my life was so worthless. Getting lots of texts from girls still in therapy over his terror. At least we have this fun little club.
Oh my God, and he's married to Topanga.
Yeah, someone else said, just FYI, the Shrimp Tales guy is both a marketing professional and someone who's lied to my face without flinching. Someone else accused him of stealing a podcast idea and name from him. So you can, it's all online, you can read about it. But this is just the
cycle.
Trajectory.
This is what happens. Oh my God, I mean, and by the way, of course, those were all very interesting tweets, but the one that said, like, he's a master marketer and manipulator, like, is this whole saga fake now? That's what I'm thinking.
Like, this guy said, like, he's a liar, and so is he lying about all this? Also, I'm not sure what your take was when you spoke about it with Taylor Strecker, but I then saw a tweet that was, like, even, you know, questioning what how he handled this whole Cinnamon Toast Crunch thing and, like, the General Mills reply that was, like, obviously a reply from a customer service rep who, like, replies to things all day and, like, okay, they said the wrong thing, but, like, gaslighting you? I don't know that that's what we would call it.
No,
like, that,
and, like,
that's even, like, questioning the way that he handled everything when it happened.
I didn't think much of it when I thought he was just a normal person. I'm like, oh, that's fun. Like, and he's a comedian, a comedy writer or whatever. Like, so I thought it was a funny response. Like, you're gaslighting me. Now knowing that he actually gaslights other people, like, all day long and has a history of being manipulative, et cetera, a liar. Now I'm like, well, you know, your response is quite problematic, sir. But I didn't think anything of it before I knew that he was problematic.
Yeah, I didn't catch on to this whole thing until it had already, like, had legs and tails and was everywhere. LOL. And so it just never really, like, resonated for me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know, like, where does Topanga fall in all of this? That's my concern.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't keep up.
I don't keep up with Topanga either. I keep up with the Kardashians, though.
Oh, big time. And we'll get to that. But next up, Gia Giudice is saying she couldn't believe Will Smith used her sad song on TikTok. So
Jackie, you don't know because I know you downloaded it. You got rid of TikTok. But that song that Gia wrote when she was like six and sang at her dad's birthday party or whatever in an effort to reunite her family has gone so viral on TikTok. And the thing is, most kids on there don't know where the sound originates from. Like, and that happens all the time. Like, random sounds go viral and people don't really know or care the story on how that sound got popular. So for me, I've just been watching it go viral, knowing full well the origin story of the sound and just living for it. And it's literally gotten, it's the number one sound. It's so popular. Waking up in the morning.
That's so well deserved for Gia. And like, that just makes me feel good inside, because like that moment was so iconic, and now there's this platform that, like, you know, plays iconic sounds and they go viral, and like the wheels of justice, they turn slowly.
But they turn.
Like, this has been almost 10 years now, but they arrive at the station.
And I'm really happy for, like, the Bravo, you know, like, young social media manager who does a really good job with the Bravo TikTok. But TikTok is really not the space for Bravo. Young Gen Z, they don't watch Bravo, so they are always doing their best to just, like, you know, fit in on TikTok like the rest of us. And when they posted this clip, they didn't know what they were doing, and they created a cultural phenomenon, and I'm happy for them because this is a huge win for them.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Bravo, apparently last night's episode of Summer House, like, it ended with a crazy fight, and again they split the screen, and a lot of people were turning to my meme for solace.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad that your content is resonating with people.
My content is resonating with people, and our movement is picking up steam.
Whew. Okay, thank God.
I got like a lot of DMs. Like, I don't know if you watched Summer House, but like they just did it again, and it was apparently like a crazy fight, and it was a crazy thing.
Stupid.
It's a crazy thing that they split the screen once again.
I know, and it's like we get so much filler from these episodes. Like, give us 30 less seconds of, like, you know, some random irrelevant subplot, just so we could finish out the actual interesting part.
100%.
Oh, well, but so what Gia, did Gia Judice say about
I'm
Will
so
Smith?
I'm so sorry. She said that she was stunned that Will Smith used a song she wrote 10 years ago for a recent TikTok of him dancing on a bed and captioned, "Remembering the time I thought it would be a good idea to make St. Patrick's Day video alone in a hotel room." She said, "I had a bunch of friends sending me text messages saying Will Smith was singing her song on Instagram, and when I saw it, I couldn't believe it. I love Will Smith, and I thought it was really cool that he did that. Maybe I'll do one of his songs in return."
I think he could live without that, but I'm happy for her. And this has actually been quite a busy year for Gia Judice, like just in terms of the press, because, you know, Jackie brought her into that whole thing. Now she's going viral on TikTok. Like, I don't know. It's kind of not a bad year to be Gia Judice.
Everything's coming up Gia.
Everything's coming up Gia.
Yes. Okay. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? It's a departure from things we usually talk about, but I'm going to relate it back to pop culture because this is some big shipping news that is actually, like, affecting the world.
Okay.
Have you not heard about this?
No.
The Suez Canal.
Oh, I have, of course.
A ship that was shipping in the Suez Canal made a wide-ass turn and is blocking the entire canal, and it is stopping, like, billions of dollars worth of shipping while they try to dislodge this 200,000-ton ship. Now, I don't know if you guys know this about the Suez Canal, Claude. I think that you do.
The Countess Luana of it all?
The Countess Luana of it all. Her husband, Count de Lesseps' family, back in the day, built the Suez Canal. And so I think it's actually, like, it's obviously a major trading route, but it's also, like, a major contribution to pop culture.
No, I know. It's every time I hear Suez Canal, the first thing I think of is the de Lesseps family. And I know that it's a 200,000-ton boat, but I think if they flew Luann out there to sing Chic C'est La Vie, the boat would just, like, start moving backwards and, like, everything would be undone.
The boat would start, like, shimmying naturally. Yeah. And it would shimmy itself out of this lodge.
Like, back it up. And like, Luann would throw down so hard that the boat would have no choice but to back it up and just, like, back its way out of the Suez.
Yeah, no, or if you put, like, a sickening couple on there, like Machine Gun Kelly and Megyn Kelly, all of a sudden we have to ship.
Yeah.
The boat starts leaving the port.
I think that they should really just fly us out there, head over to the operations tent, and we've got some ideas. So we hope everyone's okay.
And we're thinking outside the box. They are bringing in, like, a big Dutch firm who specializes in, like, naval exhibitions. We'll give them a shot. And then you can call them the big
guns. And then you can call the morning toast operations because we're ready. My bag's ready. Packed.
I don't follow Luann, but have you seen her speak out about this yet? Because honestly, I am waiting to hear from her.
I know you're kidding, but, like, I'm dead serious as well. Like, what does she have to say? This is literally her legacy.
I completely agree.
I don't believe that she has, but let me just double check. Like, because she's so funny and her Instagram is actually, like, really on point, like, with what people, like, want from her. Countess Luann.
Yeah, I just need to know, like, if anyone else heard this story and immediately thought, like, what does Luann think about it?
Okay, I did, but you and I are literally the same. I don't see anything on her stories. No, that's too bad.
That is too bad. But this is, like, a major shipping blockade, and so that's, like, what they're up to in the canal.
That's what the shipping crew, the shipping department is up to.
Yeah. Cool. So I think if we have any ships out at sea, like, we might have to call them back because they're not going to be able to get through.
Mayday, mayday, this is an emergency. I fucking love that song, by the way.
No, it's so good. And I think we should send you to the Suez Canal.
And that's literally covers. What I've been saying.
You could do covers and maybe, just maybe that ship will start shimmying.
And I could just at least entertain the people on board who have been, like, literally stuck in the same spot for a few days.
Yeah. Crazy.
Let's dive into our TV recap segment. Last night was the second episode of the final season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And you know what? It was kind of boring. There were a few, like, little pearls that I thought were interesting. But something I'm following from last season is we're getting a lot of really unnecessary Khloé and Tristan, like, drama, and it's really starting to annoy me.
I know. You are so, like,
sensitive.
You are so not here for it. I am here for it. And we're getting, like, a better picture of what's going on between them. And the fact that, like, you know, the public's opinion is such a big hindrance for them getting back together just makes me feel like I don't want to say anything. Like, let Chloe live. Let Chloe live.
Yeah. No,
and I wasn't even going to say anything negative, but it's like, I don't even want to say anything. Just let her live.
No, I know. I thought that was really interesting. From that whole, like, storyline, what I took away was, like, you know, Chloe's always been, like, this, like, really strong, not-give-a-fuck kind of gal. But obviously, this type of lifestyle is starting to, like, wear on her, where, like, she gives so much of a shit about what people think. It's letting her affect her actual personal decisions. Like, that's crazy.
That's crazy. And also, she said something that was just making me think, because she was like, everyone has an opinion about my relationship, like, my body, my face, and, like, all this stuff about Chloe's face. We never really talk about it, because, like, this is an audio show, so it wouldn't even make sense to talk about, like, photos. But, like, people go so hard on her, like, changing face, whatever, mm-hmm. that she looks so crazy. But, like, on the show, she looks stunningly beautiful. It's clear that on her Instagram, social, she uses, like, apps and messes with her face. Like, whatever. It's not, you know what I mean? I just people get so pressed about it. It's, like, really not that big of a deal. There's all these, like, conspiracy theories about Chloe's face. Like, where's her nose? Like, her nose is right there. I saw it on TV last night. Like, she obviously just gets a little carried away filtering her photos. But who, like, okay. That's not, like, the cause for, you don't have to call an ambulance, okay?
Yeah, no, I have never been the type of person to comment on others' use of Photoshop and Facetune, because that is the pot calling the kettle black. I don't really, like, give a shit, you know? Like, some people get so bent out of shape, like, why did Chloe? And, like, they can't stop posting it on their Instagram. Like, what did Chloe do to her face? Like, I truly don't care. Like, I just felt bad for Chloe. Like, to get to a point in your life where, like, your personal, private life decisions are being influenced by what you think the public thinks, like, that is so crazy, especially for someone as, like, strong-willed as Chloe. Like, we know her. Like, she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, no, it's unhealthy. It's not how life is supposed to be lived. So,
right.
I do feel for her. I hope that she gets to a place where she can get through this piece of it. But I also want to do our part in not contributing to that sort of toxicity.
The subplot of Kendall, like, wanting babies, babysitter, like, legit fast forward, like, could not care less.
I know. Like, because obviously it was so sub, but when she was like, my best friend is pregnant, I was like, Gigi.
Oh, is that who she was talking about?
Yes. I was trying to think, and then it's Gigi. They're the same age, and that's her best friend. But watching those kids, I could watch a whole show of those kids playing.
I know. Like, the kids are so fucking cute, campers, and they're little Skims.
They're so, each one's cuter than the next. Psalm was being so cute. I just, all of Chicago, True, like, Truesdale, P, I can't. So fucking cute. So I personally was here for the campers, and if Kendall's fake storyline was what brought us there. Also, Ace, Malika's son, so fucking
cute. He's so cute.
So cute.
Also, I thought it was really cool to see Kylie on set of The WAP. I mean, it was fun to see Kylie, like, on Kardashians in general, since she's never on. And then the one little nugget we get was her filming the WAP music video, which I thought was so cool, because first of all, she looked so stunning, like, in the video, and she looked exactly the same, like, sitting in the makeup chair. Like, it was cool to see the consistency in her look, and to see Cardi on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like, that was an iconic pop culture crossover moment, like, that will live in infamy forever.
No, I totally agree. And then, like, both talking about how they gained weight in quarantine, I was like, over here, same.
And then just talking about their kids, like, you know, they grow up so fast. Like, Kylie's such a mom, you know?
Yeah, no, it was awesome to see. The episode had, like, good nuggets like that, but then also was a lot of filler. And it's crazy how, even though it's the last season and you would think, like, they're going to give it all to this season, they've got the house and everything, like, they still have to, like, make shit up.
Yeah, there was still, like, boring shit, but we got a really interesting, like, window into Kim and Kanye. And I think how they're going to go about it is, like, Kim refuses to even really, like, speak on it directly because she thinks it's disrespectful to Kanye, who's asked that his privacy be respected. And she 100% has respect for that. It seems like how they're going to tackle it is, like, having everyone else kind of speak about it from their perspective, like, about Kim, not about Kanye, just like, oh, she's going through a lot. Oh, we should support her, you know?
Yes, I agree. And also, I didn't go and look, but, like, I forget what the tweets were this summer, because there's been so many, like, tweets over the past few years that I forget, like, what the specific batch was from this summer that was, like, affecting her on last night's episode.
I believe it was, like, those tweets, like he's Jordan Peele from Get Out, you know, Chris Momager. Remember, they were the ones, like, about the family.
Got it. Yeah, that's really, really difficult.
I don't know.
The girls' night that they had, though, in Malibu, like, drinking and just, like, having so much fun, I genuinely thought, like, I feel like they had a great night. It wasn't just for the cameras.
For the cameras. Me too. And I'm going to say something really kind of contradictory to everything I've ever said, but having Courtney not on the show makes me like her so much more. I'm like, she is funny and she's fabulous and she's everything of the sort when she's not just complaining all the time.
100%. In last night's episode, I was so happy for her presence. I was enjoying what she was bringing to the party. And yep. I was feeling like I was feeling a little turned in a positive direction towards her. And so I me think too. Like it's better for she's clearly happier and it's better for the viewers when we only get her when she wants to be there.
Agreed. Everyone seems like they're just like in a healthier spot with Courtney. And I was really enjoying her presence, which is not something I've felt in years.
Yeah. No, I so agree. I loved her pajamas. I loved what she was bringing to the table. And also when they talked about her relationship, like obviously we're a few months too early, but like soon Travis Barker.
I know. I was like dying to like I wish that they would have like even spoken about it. But when they kept talking about someone like, do you regret that? They're talking about Eunice, right?
Yes. For sure.
Okay, like 100%. Like one of her worst relationships.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
The
episode needed more Kris Jenner, but she's obviously busy. But if I don't get myself like a Kris Jenner spinoff, I'm going to start a riot.
Yeah. Also, it ended with like Tristan saying something nice about Khloé in the confessional. And like, I was just cringing.
It was
but
a
also
little
smiling.
Cringy. It was a little
I was cringing
cringy.
And smiling.
Because he's just not comfortable on the camera yet. This is, I think, his, like, first confessional. And it's only episode 2. So this is maybe, like, the first or second time he's actually sitting down. And he was trying to, like, be, like, protective. Like, and he just, like, couldn't get the words out. And I was really struggling. And I was really hoping you weren't going to bring it up because it was, like, so cringy. Like, I have to relive it now in my brain.
No, stop. It was cringy, but it was cute. And also, like, he is committed to Khloé. He's committed to being a part of the family. He's committed to be a part of the show. Like, he's all in. And therefore, so am I. Toot, toot, my ship is coming in. We're going to reroute because the Suez Canal is backed up. And Khloé and Tristan.
Is it a ship or a train? Because a train goes toot, toot.
Toot, no, it's a ship. Toot, toot. Okay. I don't know. They still have a horn.
I guess. It's more like, you know?
Oh, that's true. Like below deck. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right. Okay, fine.
So it was a good episode. Obviously, I'm just like waiting to see if Kim passes the bar, how the rest of the, you know, the Wyoming trip unravels and, you know, all the stuff about Kanye running for president. Like, can't wait to see where that takes us. But even though it was like a kind of a lame episode, the girls are together and who knows when that'll be happening again. So it was delightful.
Yep. I still enjoyed every minute. Everyone was looking sickening and beautiful and stunning and smart, just like us. And there's merch if you want to feel the same way at ShawMorningToast.com.
Thank you guys so much for an amazing week of episodes. We're back in studio on Monday, so the YouTube will be back. But thanks for keeping up with us here on the podcast this week. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have an amazing weekend, you guys. Happy Passover. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.